This is the Dean, the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be with you. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Dean Show. We're here every week trying to help you understand the most misunderstood way of life in the world today. Islam, yet is the fastest growing way of life in the world. This is a fact. And we cover serious topics. This is a serious show. And thank you for tuning in to The Dean Show. So when I come back, we're going to talk about modesty, shyness. Many of us have gone away from this nature, to be shy. You go to the supermarket, the billboards, half-naked women all over there. You look at Beyonce, Britney Spears, just full naked. And then the young ones are emulating the older ones. And next thing you know, you're buying your 6-year-old, 7-year-old daughter clothes that match them. And you're forgetting about shyness and modesty. And that is what we're going to be discussing today with my next guest. That's right, he's back here on the Dean Show. Sheikh Kamal Mekki. We'll be right back on the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean
Show. This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show. This is the
Dean Show. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah.
Peace be with you.
Jazakallah khair. Wa alaykum salam.
Now look, check this out. Check this out. Look, we cater to a lot of not yet Muslims. Now they see this on your head and they wonder, is he one of those guys? Is he one of the people that are trying to bring harm to us? Is he one of those from Al-Qaeda? Is he one of these people, 9/11? And they're getting freaked out. So we want the truth to be able to penetrate, but we want to alleviate, assuage any fears. What's going on, Shay?
You know what? It's just, it's more cultural and traditional. It's not really religious.
You're not in a gang or nothing?
No, not really. If I were, I would be the gang leader, though. But you know, I'll tell you something. A lot of times, even with Muslims in the West, they think like what I'm wearing now is like the Islamic garment. It's not. It's just a cultural garment. And that's why a lot of times I wear a suit and tie like you're doing, or wear jeans and a shirt, and people will be like, oh, you're not dressed Islamically. Well, that isn't Islamic anyways, but people associate it with being Islamic. And sometimes when you give a lecture, you put it on because people expect that of you, but not because it's really an Islamic attire or anything like that. You know?
Some people, you go to certain places, and if you don't look like them, you don't dress like them, you don't sound like them, we don't want them Muslims over here. So they see you, and it sounds like the same people who are telling certain people to get to the back of the bus, the same kind of racism. Do you feel that this is kind of the same thing we're talking about?
Well, it certainly sounds the same, different style, but it's the same thing happening.
And
it's interesting that for our history in the United States, there's always a group that's oppressed, you know. And, you know, first it was the Native Americans, then it became the, during the World Wars, you know, the Japanese. Then it became the, and maybe it still is, the African-Americans. One African-American civil rights leader, he said that, you know, the Muslim is the new Negro.
Muslim is.
Yeah, so you're actually a Negro now, if you.
So they went from now, you hating on the Japanese, you hating on the Native American, hating on the African American, but now you're hating on all of them because a Muslim is one who acquires peace by submitting to the owner of peace, and Muslims are white, black, yellow,
all
pink,
the above.
All the above.
Yeah.
But this hate has got to stop, doesn't it?
It needs to stop. And this isn't the way, and this isn't why a lot of the immigrants that came to America, they came under the thinking that wouldn't exist in America. So it's un-American, if I could say that, you know.
And even those, before we get to our main topic, even those who have this hatred, this racism, I have trust that they can change, because if some of the harshest enemies of Islam back then, and simply Islam means to acquire peace by submitting to the one God.
Right.
This is what it means. So even those opponents of Islam way back then, they accepted Islam when they just got to open their heart and mind and were exposed to it.
Right. I mean, I don't want to repeat jokes on your show, but I think I said this before.
Please tell it again.
When it was Halloween, when it was Friday, and I was going to Friday prayer, which is around noon. So I was dressed like this, and this old lady is walking her dog, and she saw me, and she said, oh, you're starting early. So she thought this was my Halloween costume, you know?
So. I'm sure now they're laughing, and you know what? Someone, even the biggest hater, he's got a smile on his face.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
We kind of, you know, melt in his heart. But if I might say, mashallah, you look very nice.
Exactly.
And
thank you.
You can't see it, but I see it. There's newer coming, light coming out of his face.
I'm only trying to keep up with you. That's all.
Mashallah. So let's start now.
Let's do it.
You go into the supermarket, and bam, it's in your face.
Right.
Bam, it's over here. You turn over here, astaghfirullah, you got to turn. Man, you can't look nowhere. It seems like more and more people are going away from shyness, from modesty. It's not the cool thing. You got to show more rather than less. Right. What is going on?
Excellent. You know, let's first define it, right? So modesty in Arabic is haya, right? And the word haya in Arabic is actually a little bit more than modesty. It has bashfulness in it. It has modesty in it. And it also has in it self-respect. If you respect yourself and you don't want to humiliate yourself in front of Allah, in front of other people, and in front of yourself, then you'll have this type of haya.
Self-respect.
Humility. Yes, humility. Absolutely. So it's a mixture of all these things put together. And, you know, very, very useful, all of them, all valuable meanings. So the thing is that, yes, everyone's supposed to have modesty. But I'll tell you, even now amongst Muslims, they see that if you're modest, that you're not, what are the words they use? That you're not, you know, like in your face.
Yes, yes.
You don't take control of things. You don't take the initiative because, oh, this guy has modesty.
Yeah.
So people confuse it with having weak personality, and they confuse it with a lot of things. And I hope, inshallah, in this episode, we can clear some of that fog, inshallah.
Now, how do we get people to realize that, you know, showing less is better than showing more? And it starts at an early age in the elementary schools, a lot of the public schools. You know what? If you're not, it seems like it's not cool. If you're showing more, you got, you know, this out here and that out there, then you know what? Now you're getting the boys' attention. And now, like, the one who's not showing, she's modest, she's shy, she's not getting the attention. So right. Now, you know, we fall into the trap. But what is Islam? What is the way of God? Is this what God wants for you to just be just selling out and showing everything out there for just the dollar, for the money?
Absolutely not. And you know, this is one of the problems, right? First of all, when this is one of the things that psychologists say about it, even non-Muslims, they're saying that when a woman is taught that her value is related to her sexuality, then she does everything to promote her sexuality, to dress seductively, to act seductively, to be promiscuous, because she learned that that's her value in society. And this is what women learn now. You know, they dress skimpily so that men can appreciate them and you know, whistle at them and harass them in that way. And, you know, in magazines, you want to sell a movie, you put a scene in it with a woman. You want to sell a magazine, you put a woman on the cover. Even things that are totally unrelated, you put a woman in the commercial to sell it. So then the woman has come down to a level of being a commodity-pushing device or object more so than, you know, a human being with value. And one of the interesting things, and you'll see, and your viewers will see how this is so true. We know if a woman enters a room, if it's a board meeting or whatever it is, that she has to do a presentation, and she enters in with, you know, scantily clad and she's showing her body parts, the men in the room will never appreciate her intelligence first. She will walk in as an object. She's not going to walk in, they're going to say, oh, she looks intelligent. They're going to look at her as a sexual object. And then maybe if she's smart, she can impress them and they'll think, oh, well, she's also smart. But first, they only see her as an object. And this is one of the problems you'll find that in the West, a lot of times, men can, like the society, cannot take a woman who is effeminate as a leader. They cannot accept her as a leader. And if you look at it, most of the times, the leaders, the female leaders in the West are very androgynous is the word they use, because it means that they have male characteristics. Like they wear either these suits, you know, the female suit, I don't know what they call it.
Yes.
They have short hairstyles. And the list, I mean, Margaret Thatcher in the UK, short hair, stoic, as they described her, not me.
Yes.
Hillary Clinton, short hair again. They describe her as, you know, cold and stoic. Condoleezza Rice, again, short hair.
There's a pattern here. I'm
Janet sure. Reno, if you recall, Saturday Night Live, they used to constantly make fun of her as a man. Janet Reno's a man. Constantly.
That's why? What they're doing.
Yeah, because they can't accept an effeminate woman in a leadership position, because to them, they've been trained with movies and magazines, she's just a sexual object. But when a woman, you know, looks more masculine, not my words again, then they can accept her. Because the effeminate woman is just an object. So the woman has become nothing but an object now. And that's why the subject of haya is so much more important now.
Now, we know that Islam, which calls a person to acquire peace, and I keep saying this because a lot of times many of the viewers have heard it, but there's a good chance, and I know that there's thousands of new not yet Muslims that tune on. And they hear this Arabic word. What's this all about? This is some new religion? No, this is the same way of life that was lived by all and taught by all the messengers of God. Submit to the one God, your will to his will. So along with that call, then the development of your character, being the best human being that you can be. And now this we're talking about today, that shyness, that modesty that is escaping us.
Right.
How do we get it back?
Well, that's the question of the day, right? How do you get it back? And of course, the good thing is you can get it back. Because if you couldn't get it back, Allah wouldn't command it of you to have haya. You know, a number of things and so many excellent examples. You know, they describe the Prophet ﷺ, because now even Muslim men think haya is only for the women.
Yeah.
I don't have to have haya. I don't have to be modest and shy and bashful and humble and you know. So they describe the Prophet ﷺ that he was the most modest amongst us. And he was more shy, more bashful than a virgin girl on the first night of her wedding. I mean, you can imagine how this description, how she would be so bashful. The Prophet ﷺ more bashful than her. And this is a man and a leader and a general and a courageous man. But still he had this quality. And then the rest of the narration says that, and if he disliked something, we could see it immediately in his face. So it's not just for women. Men also are supposed to have haya, meaning they're supposed to be shy or have modesty, be bashful as well, you know, and have the self-respect. So it's not just for the women. It's something that's a quality of a believer.
So we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more with Sheikh Kamal Al-Mekki here on The Deen Show.
I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
The Quran says, don't kill women, don't kill children, don't kill the old people, don't attack the civilians. This is what the Prophet Muhammad told us.
Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said that the Prophet ﷺ never ever start a war against anybody.
So if you find yourself, your iman is going down, check yourself.
There is none worthy to be worshipped except Allah alone.
You got some CD or some music in the car? Bobbing your head to 50 cents or...
No, it's common sense. Don't do things that can hurt people.
Lady Gaga, Gugu, and all that other nonsense?
Bullying is haram, backbiting, slandering, and such substances as smoking.
Stay tuned, 18-inch biceps! We'll see what happens to Eddie on The Deen Show.
And we holding it down on The Deen Show early. Make sure y'all tune in.
Back here on The Deen Show with Sheikh Kamal Al-Mekki. Thank you for finding the time. It's always, always a pleasure to have you on The Deen Show.
Well, you know, it's my pleasure, and I'm always here for one thing and one thing only, right? And that's to hold it down on The Deen Show early.
That was one of our guests.
Absolutely.
Brother, yes. That brother also, like many of them, we've had Napoleon from the Outlaws, Tupac's crew, former crew, Loon, and then from Jay-Z's. These people are coming to Islam. They're coming to the realization that, you know what? All this money and glamour and glitz is not where it's at.
Absolutely.
Islam is where it's at. It's cool to be a Muslim doing all the good that the Creator's called us to do.
It's the new black.
So tell us now. Look at this. Okay, we're going to start and give some practical examples of the shyness, let's say, for the man. You know, you go into, from a young age, they try to throw all the men together and they're showering naked, you know, or you just, your shirt off and you're flexing here and your navel, everything is showing. Mm-hmm. So now you grow up in a culture that's doing that. All right? Where, what does Islam call you to do? And now the person that's listening is going to be like, you know what, that makes more sense.
Right. And just what kind of we touched on earlier, that when you have haya, when you have modesty and shyness and bashfulness, it's not that you now have a weak personality or that you're scared of people or that you're not courageous enough or you're not confrontational. It's actually because people they confuse it with
and
that.
And I don't think you're weak because last time you're talking about 500 on the bench.
Oh, that's easy. Yeah, absolutely. That's nothing. That's a warm up. So the idea is this, that the Prophet ﷺ told us in a hadith, he said, Al-haya la ya'ti illa bi khair. Basically, it means that nothing except good comes out of modesty.
Yes.
So no bad comes out of it whatsoever. Only good comes out of it. So if you think that, you know, haya means you'll get your rights trampled upon, people will push you around, you're confusing what haya is. That's not what haya is. Haya is to have modesty, to have bashfulness. And that's why we always tell sisters, you know, you're supposed to have haya, right? And then they tell you things like, why should I be afraid of the man, you know? You know, he looks at me in the eye and I'm supposed to lower my gaze. I'll stare him down, you know? If he wants to fight with me, I'll fight back. He wants to exchange bad words.
Yeah.
That's not haya. What we're saying, we're not saying let your rights be trampled upon. We're saying don't lose your haya in the process of regaining your rights.
Yes.
Which is how it's supposed to be. One of the fantastic examples is that of Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet ﷺ. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he passed away, he was buried in what they call her apartment or her room.
Mm-hmm.
Then the first, his successor, the first Khalifa, Caliph Abu Bakr, passed away, and he was buried in her room as well. So she narrates, she said, I used to be, you know, relaxed about what I wear because I would say it's my husband and my father who are buried in there. So I wouldn't have to wear the hijab, things like that, as I entered in the room. She said, then when Umar, radiallahu anhu, the successor of the successor, when he was buried
this
there...
This one of the companions now, so they know the
correct.
Prophet...
and this was the second caliph in Islamic history.
Couldn't you compare it to like president?
Yeah, exactly, okay. Like the leader.
Leader.
So then when he passed away and he was buried in her room, she said, I could not come in uncovered. She had to. She said, I would cover up properly out of haya from Umar.
Shyness.
Can you imagine that? Out of shyness from a dead person who's buried underground, but yet this is the kind of haya that she had. This is the mother of the believers, Aisha, the role model for the Muslim woman. Now, of course, people who don't have haya will see this and say, well, that doesn't make any sense. But for those who have haya, it makes perfect sense.
Now, look, if you're in a situation, say a Muslim man, and we'll go to the woman, the Muslim man. Now, you know, sometimes you're in an awkward situation and say you're at the gym and, you know, you turn around and it's just normal. The person just be bam, just everything's out there. A Muslim, he hides his privates, right. Hides his private areas. Explain this. How should a like you're going running, for instance.
Excellent.
This is part of shyness. What should you be covering? You know, do you show your thighs and you're in those speedos and, you know, running? And
I got you.
Talk to us.
Excellent. Well, for the man, it's for him to cover from his navel all the way up to his knees.
No one needs to see the privates.
Exactly.
That's for your wife.
Exactly.
Okay.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the things is that people argue things, they say things like, well, it's natural for you to be uncovered because you were born uncovered. You were born naked.
What do you say to that?
So what's the problem? What we say to that is that there's actually a very strong link between your iman, which is your belief in Allah Azza wa Jal, and your haya, your modesty and your bashfulness. And if someone were, not that I recommend this, but if someone were to interview people at, let's say, a nudist camp, he'll find that most of them probably don't have much iman anyways, or don't have belief in Allah, or they're probably atheists or something of that sort.
Yeah.
So the true relationship is that what is natural is for the human being to cover the private part, not to uncover.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we go back to the story of Adam and Eve, the first thing they did when they discovered that they were uncovered...
Adam and Eve, the first man and first woman.
Yes.
Great example.
When they sinned, then they realized that they were naked.
Yeah.
The first thing, the first action that they did after discovering they were naked was to try to cover.
They tried to cover.
The nakedness, right?
Wow, great example.
That means the natural thing is to cover your private parts, not to uncover them,
yeah.
As they want to argue, oh, kids were born naked. What do you want them to be born in suits and ties and stuff? You know,
come out of the Versace here,
yeah, exactly.
Boss suit.
He'll cry, he'll spell out the way he cries, W-A-W-A.
Doesn't work.
It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
So the thing is that the more natural thing is to cover. Very interesting, just to throw this in, the word awra, which is the word for private part in Arabic, it actually means something that's shameful. So it's natural to cover it up, you know. Even little children, you sometimes, you know, if they're 4 or 5 years old, you uncover them, they say, no, you know, people will see me. Because it's natural to want to cover the private part, not to uncover. Which is basically, what you know, kind of the calls that we've started hearing after the sexual revolution in the late 60s and early 70s. After that, people started to call to that and equate that with liberation.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're covered, you're oppressed. Just like how they assume Muslim women, because they're covered, they're oppressed by men, and that's why they're covered. But if you're uncovered, you're liberated. And you end up some problems, very clear problems with that argument, right?
Tell us.
Because that means if you're wearing any amount of clothing, even if it's very skimpy, you're still not fully liberated.
Yes.
So the argument would be, why don't you fully liberate yourself?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was actually one time a speaker who was giving a lecture, and then a non-Muslim woman came in and she started pointing at the Muslim women that were covered, and she was yelling at the speaker, why are they covered like that? Assuming you're oppressing them, that's why they're covered.
Yeah.
So he said, well, you were born naked, why are you clothed right now?
Wow.
And she said, modesty. And she just chose the right word.
Yes.
She said, modesty. He said, well, modesty, more modesty.
Modesty, more modesty.
That's the argument.
I mean, that just goes with nature, man.
I mean, if you're covered because of modesty, if that means if they're covered more, it's more modesty.
Yes.
And uncovering doesn't mean liberation. No. It just means lack of modesty. That's all it means.
I really think, you know, because we have the chief deceiver, and people forget, I mean, that you have this devil and the satanic forces,
mm-hmm.
and he's pimping people. He's working day and night
okay.
to pimp the man, to pimp the woman, and by going away from the guidance of the Creator, he's pimping you. Take
right.
it off. Take it all off.
Absolutely, yes.
And now you just become a commodity. You're just a toy for the man.
Exactly.
Isn't this so true?
It's very true. It's very, and it's getting worse and worse every time. You know, in the 1920s in America, if a woman wore pants, that was there was an uproar. It was they weren't even allowed to, actually. So, but then, you know, the standards become worse and worse and worse and worse.
The more you go back, isn't it? They wouldn't show a lot of the things that are unshy on the TV, you know, the
right.
promiscuity, all the just horrific things that you see. You go back, you know, women, they had to cover their arms and the long
yeah.
skirts. This is in America.
But I'll tell you something interesting, like early in the 50s and 60s, and even before that, the argument the liberals were making is that, you know, people will fornicate and commit zina and do wicked deeds so long as you forbid them from it. So they're using the forbidden fruit argument. As long as you forbid people, they're going to do that. But if you allow it, people are going to take it easy and they're just going to leave it. And so the conservatives today, they argue, they say, look, now things have gotten worse. You said if we allow people to do what they want to do, it's going to get, people are going to take it, you know, easy and just mm-hmm. forget about it. It's not going to become in the forefront of their mind. But the opposite has happened now. Because people allowed a little bit of promiscuity, they allowed someone to show this much of their hand and then that much of their leg, it got worse today. The standards have become a lot worse. So it's the opposite of the forbidden fruit argument, which they also use, for example, they tell you in Sweden, the teenage pregnancy rate is much lower than in the United States, right? And they say because at an early age, they teach the kids in school about contraceptives and this and that and so on. And that's why we should do the same thing in America, because, you know, there's some stigma and they don't discuss it openly. And so therefore people do it and then they have teenage pregnancies. That kind of solution is not acceptable in Islam, because in the end, you still have youth committing zina.
Yeah.
Zina is not acceptable. It's not about whether or not they use you know, protection or contraceptives. It's about the act of zina, fornication.
Fornication.
So it's not acceptable. So this is some of the problems, you know. People try to make arguments like that, but they don't work.
We're going to take a break. They're signaling we got to go for a break. We'll be right back with more on The Dean Show.
One God, worship Him alone. Do what He wants you to do. Put your desires, this thing inside you that just wants this and wants that, and you just can't get enough. You know what? You never get enough until the dirt's in your mouth. Don't let it come to that. Be sincere and honest. Ask the one who created you to guide you is the first step. Put off chasing all the women and the good times and the parties and this and that.
There is no one worthy of worship except Allah. Don't wait. You never know if death would come today for you or not.
Back here on The Dean Show, and again, we are really stressing that this way of life, Islam calls to everything good. And a sincere person who's not wanting to follow their lusts and desires, I don't think anyone, the father that's looking at his daughter, he don't want no googly-eyed man all over his daughter and trying to molest her with his eyes. And you want to protect what's so precious to you. You don't like people touching your car. But now that girl goes out, and what's the first thing on the mind of the man?
Right.
That's how it is. But now what's Islam saying? Protect the most valuable things, our women. Can you elaborate again? I mean, just this is the rationale. And talk about, please, how we worry about our money and our cars and all these things, but how Islam,
right.
it really puts the woman to such a high level of this way that would really, like, protect her from all this evil.
And I think you said it best. Anything that's valuable, you protect it and you cover it.
Yes.
You typically cover the valuable thing, right? So if you know, even women, their most valuable jewelry item, it's covered. They don't put it out on the dining table, you know, or you know, on the dashboard of their car. It's covered. It's protected. And anything that's dear to you, you cover and you protect it. And so, you know, the chastity, the modesty, all these things, the beauty of the woman, it's supposed to be protected. Therefore, it's supposed to be covered. When it's not covered, many bad things happen in society. The way men look at women, and this is something that has happened now in North America, and I don't know how many, if we were to reverse it, it would take decades to transfer this image of how women have become in the minds of men. They've just become like targets, you know?
Yeah.
And they talk about them also like items, like objects, not as human beings. And that's why, you know, to show the importance of haya, yani the Prophet ﷺ, he described that iman, belief in Allah, has 70-odd branches, many branches. The highest of which is to say la ilaha illallah, that no god is worthy of worship except Allah alone. The lowest level is to remove an obstacle or an obstruction from the road. So then, but notice he said there are 70-odd branches of iman. Then he gives
that's
only
faith.
One, yeah, of
can
faith.
You translate it faith?
Of faith or belief, right? Yeah. Then he gives only one example, and he said wal haya bid'a min al iman, and modesty is one of the branches of iman. So very quickly, the scholars say, why did he only give that one example? They say because if you have this one characteristic, modesty, you will get everything else.
So our sisters in humanity, our sisters in Islam, this goes back again to shyness. Coming back to shyness, and then naturally you're going to want to observe the hijab, and you're going to want to implement all the good that the Creator's told us to do, the complete shyness.
Absolutely.
And is this, you know, for the sisters also who are having a hard time with the hijab, what advice do you give to them?
You know, the reminder is that, and I know we're running out of time, but one of the scholars have categorized modesty or shyness into six different types. But one of the most important ones is having shyness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, people will use bad words, but they're ashamed to use it in front of an elderly person, but they're not ashamed to use it in front of Allah. They'll smoke, they want to hide it from the imam or from the religious leader in the local community, but they don't hide it from Allah. You know, a woman will uncover in front of her father, maybe she has another outfit to make him think she's dressed well. But in front of Allah, she's not dressed well. It's for the believing man and woman to constantly remember the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. And you should be more shy of Allah than you are of other individuals that you hold in high regard, you know. And that's why the scholars say that sometimes the sin you're committing, or the fact that you don't care that Allah sees you committing a sin, can be worse than the sin itself that you're committing. That's deep.
That's deep. Last minute. So just some examples now. Shyness in the way you speak. Not using curse words. Saying good things. What else? Dressing properly. Talking properly. Acting properly. What is it?
In dealings with people. In everything. In business dealings.
This
in
is
meetings. Yeah. Because some people tell you, you know, you've heard the saying, business is business.
Yeah.
Meaning, business is business. I can be cutthroat. I can be rude to you. But then after that, we can go get dinner together or what have you.
It doesn't work in
Islam. No, it doesn't work like that. Because your good manners is a constant. It's something that's constant. Not something that you do whenever you're in a good mood. Or you can turn off your good manners because we're in a business meeting. No. So it's constant. So haya in everything. In speech. In dealings. In dressing, in behavior, in walking, in everything.
With your parents, everything. Being
Absolutely.
Shy, being modest. This is what Islam is calling us to. Thank you very much.
My
God
pleasure.
Almighty Allah reward you once
thank
again.
Thank you very much.
And thank you again. Again, you've gotten to learn something new. We've always stressed the call to worship just the Creator, not His creation. Character development. And then shyness. You got to learn about shyness. It's something, again, that just goes with your nature. And everything, if you investigate Islam, you'll see that everything you learn, it just makes sense. It's not something that's weird. You're not doing something that's way out there, bizarre, something mystical, and only, you know, esoteric, where just a few people understand this. Islam is something that's from the Creator, so it's got to make sense. And I'm sure if you have an open heart and open mind, you know this makes sense. So if you'd like to learn more, call the number on the screen, 1-800-662-ISLAM. Visit us here every week on The Dean Show. We also have the new radio show at thedeanshow.com. You can also pick up our new DVDs and share this message of peace. Peace acquired by submitting your will to the will of the one God, Islam. We'll see you next time. Peace be unto you.
One of the beautiful things about our religion of Islam is the emphasis on direct ritual and prayer to God directly. There is no intermediary.
The lights will go on after the party. And the party will end.
It's very simple and very clear. There are no superstitious rituals, no strange incantations.
Time is running out. We might not make it till tomorrow. And this is something that we need to think about.
No speech is better than to do da'wah, to call people to Allah and to do the work.
No speech is better.
No, nothing is better than that.
Is it true that if one person and Allah giving you the ability to guide someone with Allah's permission, the Creator's permission, that is better than everything in this world?
Better than the whole world and everything that's in it. In another narration, it's better than the best of wealth. But if we really felt that, Eddie, would we not be out giving da'wah?
And this is something that we encourage all the MSAs, all the da'wah organizations, the masjids, to get this. We want to print more. We give these to the non-Muslims for free, for free, for free. We want our brothers in humanity to become our brothers in faith.
It's cold, it's late, everybody's sleeping. I arise and ask Allah to forgive me. Oh Allah, you see, oh Allah, you know, all the sins I do. I turn to you to forgive my sins and my heart. I'm your sinful slave, you're my loving Lord. I'm the one who runs away, oh Allah, guide me.